on the defensive side of the ball. Of course, you had Colvin, Audric, Andre Branch, and Ryan Davis all had sacks. Telvin Smith led with the most tackles. Colvin was up there too. Pius, Cyprian. It seems like every week it's not just the same group of people all the time. It's different people each week that are stepping up and making bigger contributions. We talked about Rashad Green and his punt returning, kick returning. Man, they really missed this guy. They should have. It would have been nice to have him a couple weeks ago, but you know, injuries are what they are. Glad to have him back. Anger only had to punt four times. He netted 192 yards. That's a lot. He pinned three of them inside the 20. And his longest was a 59-yarder. He was really playing trick shot punting because every one of his didn't need to be boomers. So he strategically placed them where he needed to. And he's kind of, I mean, if you really look at his numbers and his performances, he's kind of proven why he was drafted as high as he was. Yeah, we all still agree it's kind of, maybe it was unnecessary to draft him as high as they did, but, I mean, part of it's kind of paid off as far as his performance. Then you had Jason Myers, who was, I got it somewhere. Actually, we'll get to Myers here in a minute, but he didn't miss any of his kicks. And actually was responsible for 13 points overall, but I'll get to him in a minute. As far as the Titans, works out for us that they're in the same division. They're still making some moves and turning some things around. But that Mariota kid, yeah, he's pretty good. Didn't have any touchdowns, but he also didn't throw any interceptions. He, I don't know, maybe he's not aggressive enough, in my opinion. But at the same time, 22 completions, 35 attempts, they were behind, remember. He was sacked four times by the Jaguars. I told you who got the four. Jacksonville kept Antonio Andrews, the top rusher for Tennessee, under 100 yards. He only had 78. Mariota was only able to run five times for 29 yards. He did scramble for his first scramble touchdown. Like I said, the guy's got some talent. He's a special talent, but they're going to need a lot more than what they got if they're going to compete. Delanie Walker, 8 receptions, 109 yards for them. He's pretty much the guy that he throws to, so you know, it makes sense. Because beyond that, nobody had more than three catches. Only one guy had three catches for them. That was Green Beckham and Douglas McCluster, Supernaw Andrews, Fasano all had two. Fowler had one for them. You know, he spreads the ball out a good bit because he's not sure who his main targets are behind Walker. They got a good offensive line. I'm a fan of a lot of parts of the Tennessee offensive line, but they just, you know, couldn't get it done. As far as their sack guys, Avery Williams had one, Brian Arakbo had one, and then he got injured. Jarrell Casey, and who am I missing? Oh, Wesley Woodyard. Punt returners are still trying to figure out who's going to do it for them. Harry Douglas did a few. Dexter McCluster did a few. They, you know, Zach Brown did have the interception. Apparently, he took time away from his singing career to get one. Kudos to that guy. Ryan Succop actually missed a kick, a field goal. That was kind of interesting. That doesn't happen very often. And of course, Brett Kern held it down for him. Not quite as good as Anger, but it is what it is. Things I wanted to talk about, you know, Allen Robinson proving that, I wrote it down, I want to make sure I say it right. How about the Allen Robinson is a top 10 wide receiver in this league. I mean, he's borderline elite, in my opinion. He continues to have these kind of days where he has 7 or 8 catches at least, for at least 100 yards. A lot of times he's been getting a score as well. Getting Julius Thomas involved early, definitely you want to get him started up. That gives you another weapon. It makes it so much easier on Blake when he gets with the guys he can trust the most, because he trusts all these guys, but the guys he can trust the most, the ones he can just look at and wink or slap the side of his helmet or some kind of cue, and they know what each other's saying. Those days are coming very soon. You know, the running backs do have to block better. That's something I saw. I'm not sure if you guys saw that. As far as picking up the blitz, they did a pretty good job. But I think three of the four sacks actually came from running backs not quite being able to block as solidly as they should have. This team does have an improving and emerging run defense. They're slowly holding a lot of these good runners. I mean, is Antonio Andrews tearing up the league right now? No, but it's not all on him either. He's pretty talented. He does get around 100 yards a game, so to keep him at 78 is huge. And they've really been doing this to a lot of people. They've been shutting down a lot of teams. As far as Myers, how about we get off his back? He was 5 for 5 with 4 field goals and 1 extra point. He's young, guys. He's trying to figure it out. He's got to get used to his holder. He's got to get used to the long snapper, Carson Tinker. These guys are solid, but they haven't worked together up until right now. They have to learn each other's tendencies. They have to learn how to work together because it's a three-part, you know, it's a three-part thing. So how about, at least for this week, let's get off Jason Myers' back. 5 for 5, 4 field goals, the 1 extra point, like I said. Good job, Jason. They have to establish the run. We go over this a lot, but Yeldon's averaging like 50 or 60 yards a game. And I think he's good enough to be a workhorse. It just seems like the tempo of the game and the scenarios that it calls for a lot of times just doesn't allow you the chance to run as much as you want to. I mean, he is the workhorse, but he only had 14 carries this week. Denard has 7. Denard's earned a few of those carries for one. Between the two of them, they should total, I don't know, 30 carries. It should be Yeldon with about, you know, 19 or 20, and Denard with about 9 or 10. I think that's a good number. If you split it up to a third, maybe a couple come off those, but you should try to run the ball 30 times a game if you can. Like I said, they just got to establish it early. The line's getting a lot better at blocking for it, so we just got to figure out the right scenarios. Of course, Bortles is improving. He still has 1 to 2 interception possible throws, just a few that don't need to be made. He's working on it. I mean, once again, he's young too, so I'm going to stay off his back. Blake, you just keep evolving and doing what you're doing. The gold uniform, let's talk about the gold uniforms. If you notice, the 4 colors that have been worn on Thursdays, they all are like Star Trek Commander colors. The red, the green, the yellow. Now the light blue, I'm not so sure of. It may have been one, I'm not a big Star Trek person enough to know the colors, but somebody said that and I looked it up, and it is really weird, so it'll be interesting to see what these other uniforms might look like. I actually like the gold to gold ratio. Maybe we should look into using those more often, because the team did play pretty good. The offensive line, the O-line, their issues are not all on Luke Jokel. Luke. Well, I'll call him Luke again. It's not all on Luke. Are part of them? Sure. But you can't blame everything. You know, he's not the one snapping the ball. He's not the one blocking on the other side. He's not the guard pulling across the formation. You know, he's the tackle. So, if there's an issue on that side, then, yeah, that's on him. But not all these issues are with him. So, you know, there's another guy we should get off the back. If maybe management didn't like him, he wouldn't still be here. Of course, it's not over yet. Still in this playoff hunt. We talked about it earlier. Only a game back of Houston, and who is also tied with the Colts. The Colts are still a mess. They're trying to collectively put something together so they can go on a good run. Hasselbeck is still a solid quarterback. He's a backup. So I can't say anything about that. Houston still hasn't quite figured out the quarterback scenario, but their defense has held them in a lot of games, and they've gotten really lucky. So, you know, you're going to have to win. I don't know, the winner from this division is going to win 7 or 8 games, probably. So, you know, there's your target goal if you're in Jacksonville. And I do want to give you the shout-outs and kudos to all you fans that packed out Everbank Field for that Thursday night game. It really helped the nation know that you guys are behind the Jaguars and that you guys know how to throw a hell of a party. We all know that. So it's good that now they're starting to learn that Jacksonville is a viable NFL city. And then the last thing I want to get into, like I said, I'm going to try to make this short and sweet. Preview for this weekend's game, of course, the San Diego Chargers come into Jacksonville to play our Jaguars. San Diego's kind of on a slide. I believe they've lost 3 or 4 in a row, something like, close to that, something like that. But part of it is the injuries just keep mounting up. They're almost like Baltimore, just for some reason they're still enough together to win games. Rivers can sling the ball, and he's not afraid to sling the ball. That's one thing we have to watch out for. So if you're an offensive lineman, you should already do this anyway. But if you're an offensive lineman, if you can't get in for the sack, put your hands up. Make it harder for him to throw over the top of it. That's really kind of offensive lineman 101, but sometimes you need to be reminded of that. So get your hands up if you can't get in there to sack him. Gotta watch out for Danny Woodhead. He is a Swiss Army knife. He can catch out of the backfield. He can run out of the backfield. He's their top goal line scorer. The guy is he's like a little pinball. He's all over the place. And he's very careful and he's very calculated in what he does. So, gotta keep an eye on him. And my 3 keys to victory. Some of these may sound redundant, but they haven't happened yet, so I'm going to keep saying them. Number 1, how about we establish the run early? Not just so we can establish the run and say we actually did, but San Diego has given up 125.9 rush yards per game. Why can't Yeldon have 75 to 80? Or up to 100 if you want to go that far. But why can't he have 75 of those and Denard have 50 of those and a touchdown apiece? When you go against a defense that's not so good against the run, like I said, they're giving up 126 yards per game. We need to run the ball at least a good chunk of time. Number 2 also pertains to running backs. They have to pick up the blitzers to help Bortles out. It's okay if the line's blocking who they need to block, but if somebody's getting through and not being picked up, it's pretty much not helping Blake because now he has less time to make a throw or he gets flushed out. When you get flushed out of the pocket, you have to choose the left side of the field or the right side of the field, and it shuts down all the routes on the other. So if he scrambles to the right, anybody on the left he's probably not going to throw to because he's not going to be able to see it. It just happens. So run backs need to pick up the blitzers and help Blake out. And then number 3. I believe we need to play up and close and bump coverage against San Diego wide receivers. Be physical off the line of scrimmage. Be in their faces. Do not play off, at least to start with, because they like these short cross routes. Think New England Patriots style. Now they have some deep threats. We'll give them that. But a couple of them getting hurt, so they don't throw it as much as possible. Or as much as they used to. If we play up close, and we play this bump coverage, then I think we can get them off their routes early, and it allows us to be able to jump these routes and maybe throw a few pick sixes on the board. So, to recap, three keys to victory. We're going to establish the run early. We're going to have the running backs pick up the blitzers a little better than they are. Even chip them is fine. Just slow them down enough. And then we're going to play up and close and bump coverage on the wide, on the San Diego wide receivers. Keep them away from these crossing routes, these little fast things. Plain and simple, right? Of course, that's going to do it for me this week. Appreciate Impact Media and Blog Talk Radio for allowing me to come on. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for joining us in the Jaguar Zone. Go Jaguars!
Stand up and cheer for the Jaguars. We are proud.